And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that if you missed the beginning of the show and you want to catch the end of it, or you are in your car and you have to go somewhere, you can always listen to the show again by going to www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Learn menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and all of the old shows are archived there, so you can listen to them on a rainy day or send them to a friend and listen to them again. Now, while you're on the NAGB website, please go and look at the calendar, because if one more person says, oh, I went 2 years ago, do I need to come back again? You know, we change shows a lot there, and there's a lot to see, and it's free always, every Sunday, for all Bahamians and local residents. And since Hurricane Dorian, we have made it free every single day of the week until the end of December. We want you to enjoy your space, your sanctuary space, and see the beauty and wonder that all your Bahamian brothers and sisters have created. So come anytime. We're there for you at the NAGB. We're going to return to our special guest tonight, Mr. Stan Burnside, who has a show of new paintings out right now at The Current at Bahamar. But we're just catching up to hear about his life. We talked a little bit before the break about how he found his passion with his brother, went off to university. Obviously, we can't have a conversation with a Burnside without mentioning Junkanoo. So, how did that come into your? Was that just something you were always involved in? Did it?
No, it wasn't. Jackson really went to Junkanoo first, mm-hmm. and I kind of followed him. And I think what attracted me more than anything was the fact that so much of the best art of the Bahamas was being done on Bay Street, mm-hmm. you know. And I sort of put some of the things that Gus Cooper and Fola Francis and Bernard Davis and other Junkanoo artists achieved in the same category as the great achievements of Brent and Max and, mm-hmm. and the others, and Amos and so on and so forth, you know. And so Jackson once said, you know, when he came home after studying abroad and he looked around at the art landscape, you know, he looked at what was going on in the galleries and he looked at what was going on Bay Street. And he said, man, I want to be part of both, mm-hmm. you know. And once he got involved in Junkanoo, it became a passion. You know, it really is habit-forming. Mm-hmm. Because once you get caught up in it, you know, it can eat you alive. You know what I mean? And my wife can tell you that my days as a Junkanoo fanatic had such an impact on family planning during Christmas time.
Oh, but I'm sure.
It had to be around my costume.
And
they, every year they had to help me to get out. And the kids, you know, every once in a while I say to them, you know, do you feel like you were deprived of a part of your Christmas? And they said, no, Dad, we loved it.
And that was probably, you know, it was so exciting. That was probably part of the Christmas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man, it brought us all together, you know. But Junkanoo, I have a great deal of respect for Junkanoo, and I think it informs the work of a lot of the best artists mm-hmm. practicing now.
Certainly use of color.
Use of color.
You know, and form and all those things. I think it's so fascinating to see
how,
you know, especially the artists that work in both. And I think you mentioned Jamin before the break, how much Jamin articulated Junkanoo in its mm-hmm. own way through being abstract.
Absolutely.
Was really amazing. And that you, I mean, again, I always find it so really incredible that three artists could work on one canvas together, because generally painters don't want people messing with their business. How did you, I mean, it was you and Jackson, and you've spoken to how close you were to Jackson, but how did then you bring Beetle into that group? I mean, how did you find that rhythm to?
Yeah, it happened naturally. You mm-hmm. know, Jackson and I, first of all, you know, we just had that complete trust in each other's marks, mm-hmm. you know, that I gave him permission to mark on top of my mark and vice mm-hmm. versa. So that transition was very easy, and it was easy to bring John Beadle in, because the three of us had been working in the Junkanoo shack together, mm-hmm. and we were actually, I mean, we were utilizing that process of mm-hmm. collaboration, mm-hmm. you know, where we all were working on the same piece at the same time. So it was an easy transition for the three of us to go into the studio together. And I thought, too, that it might be difficult to make that transition, but it was seamless.
Wow.
And, you know, I think some really, really great work was done during all of the different, you know, iterations
yep.
of jamming.
Yeah,
you
know? And what I always tell people, we're blessed enough at the NAGB to have one, which is called Enigmatic Funkification.
Oh, yeah, that was a masterpiece.
Yeah, masterpiece.
The first iteration.
Yeah, and whenever I show it to people, I always say, you know, you can hear it. Because you can, yeah, you know, it's yeah. not the colors and the, you know, you can almost, it almost implies sound,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
what I think is so amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, so rarely when you're looking at paintings, do you think about that element? You know, you think about color and volume, and but you don't think about sound. And mm-hmm. those paintings, they do really, they bring that to you. And I find that amazing that yeah. for a two-dimensional artwork to do that. So, and then they went to the Olympic Games.
Yes, yes. We had a exhibition at one of the galleries there, Cynthia Love Gallery mm-hmm. in Atlanta. And, you know, the work was shown there, and it did very well.
Yeah.
And we also did a jamming exhibition at the Biennale in Sao Paulo.
Oh, the Sao Paulo Biennale. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was very well received as well, you know. And so the work, I think, you know, hopefully will stand the test of time.
I think it will.
And, you know, it'll show what came really out of the brotherhood of
yeah.
artists, you know, who
yeah.
had some of the same interests.
And then when Jackson passed away, you reformed with Antonius Roberts, which I thought was very interesting. Was
yeah.
that a difficult thing? I mean, again, obviously you've known Antonius a very long time, and
yeah.
you've all sort of grown up together, but to have a group of three, a very tight, I mean, it's almost like losing your wife and getting a new one. It's like, it's a difficult transition. How was it to...
Actually, Antonius was a part of Jammin 2.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, yeah. When we finished Jammin 1 mm-hmm. with Jackson, John mm-hmm. Beadle, and myself, mm-hmm. because by that time we had started Because, mm-hmm. We brought in Brent and Antonius
right.
for Jammin 2.
Okay.
And so we did a series of paintings with Jammin 2. So
it was all five of you?
It was five of us.
All on one painting?
All on one painting.
Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. So when Jackson passed, and a few years passed, and I decided that we wanted to, you know, revive Jammin, as a tribute to mm-hmm. both Jackson and Brent,
mm-hmm.
you know, we, the three of us surviving. Max was always out of town,
yeah,
and so difficult to pin him down. So the three of us did it, and we did Jammin' 4 mm-hmm. and, you know, produced quite a impressive body of work in Jammin' 4.
Very
know?
Impressive body of work,
yeah.
many of which were actually purchased by Bahamar and are in the restaurant The Tides, right?
Yes.
There's quite a few
yes.
there. I don't know where the others
Absolutely,
are. But
yeah.
you had that studio on Bay Street. It was
yeah.
great. I would have to say, I would love to see more art studios on Bay Street. When you and Antonius yeah. and John Beadle were working down there,
yeah.
it
yeah.
was such a nice feeling to see, to walk downtown and to see artists making art
yeah.
like in a shop window.
Well, you know, it was a very, very generous space. I mean, the owner of the space is Manny Alexo,
mm-hmm.
who was my publisher at The Guardian. Mm-hmm. And he very generously allowed us to use the space since it wasn't being used
yeah.
Then. And so we had, you know, we had space to really do some...
I think that would be a great thing for someone to donate a building to have young or young and old artists, all those abandoned properties on East
yeah.
Bay, you know, to
yeah.
have artists working in there would be so great.
I
and
agree.
It would be amazing. It would be so uplifting, both for locals and for visitors.
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe I've got to get on the phone and make that happen afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's really nice to put art at the center, because I think art is so much at the center of our existence in the Bahamas, but we somehow don't know it. Like, mm-hmm. there were such creative people. Everyone... And when you talk to, it's interesting, when you talk to a lot of artists as well, many of their parents were somehow doing things with their hands.
Yes.
But wouldn't have self-recognized as an artist of any kind. So maybe they were a dressmaker or a
cake decorator.
Cake decorator, yeah, structural engineer, like George Cox. I mean, all, you know, yeah.
Like
Mason,
Denny,
like Denny, yeah?
Denny is the best junkin' of mine ever, you know? I mean, she is just...
Well, she had to do something when you were in the shack every night.
But I mean, she makes, and our daughter Brooke, I think, inherited that from her. She can make decisions, you know? You know, how some artists sort of hesitate and they not quite sure, but she can come to a decision and make it, yeah. In fact, I used to consult my daughter.
Really?
Yeah, because she could see things and make a decision more quickly than I could.
So on your work, you'd bring her into the studio?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so it's a family business.
It's definitely a family business, yeah.
And what about Denny? Is she ever in the studio or is that too close? Is that too close for comfort?
Yeah, Denny is in and out of the studio. Of course, she's my muse.
Of course.
So when she's there, I produce more work, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so she's there all the time. You know, she has her spot and she... You know, she contributes a lot to what I do. Yeah.
Well, and all the, it's taking care of everyone and all the family, right? Because you've got several children all doing amazing things.
Absolutely.
And all creative in their own way, right?
That's right.
I mean, it's interesting.
Very fortunate.
It's interesting how that creative gene is kind of spun out in the three of them and how they're sort of doing different things. But
actually,
they're all,
the four of them.
Four of them. Yeah. Oh, I lost one.
Yeah, Logan, my oldest.
I think I haven't met him. That's probably why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've only met the other three.
Yeah.
So Denny's going to be the cake maker, the artist of the family that makes ephemeral work. It's a bit like Junkanoo.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. In fact, Nejmi has inherited her talent and her skills, and he takes it to
another level.
Another level, believe it or not. And, you know, they collaborate so well in the kitchen. You know, when I walk in the kitchen and they're really busy and they have this language that they speak that it's like a foreign language to me, you know, but they know exactly what they mean and they get things done quickly, you know.
That's lovely.
They each have their strengths and they balance.
Yeah.
Off, you know.
Well, it was probably like you and
some
Jackson in the studio, maybe.
Very much so.
Yeah, you
very
get your own. I'm sure other people walked in when you were in the studio. They wouldn't. You probably had your own language as well.
Oh yeah. We used to have fun with that.
Yeah.
You know, we had a way of pretending like we had a secret language. You know, Iniga Rucha, Kulose Mama Iniga Rucha. You know. But you know, we're really just making up sounds, and people would, especially when we were in the United States, they would. They were certain that we were speaking a real language, you know?
Someone out there thinks that that's what Bahamian sounds like.
That's right. It was easy to fool them. Yeah.
That's really funny. Yeah. We're going to go to another short break. We are in the studio speaking with the fantastic Mr. Stan Burnside, who has an exhibition right now called Conversations with My Father at The Current at Bahamar. And it's up for another couple of weeks, so do try to go see that. And if not... Well, you have to. That's not an option. So just go to The Current and go see that and just support all your art spaces. I think it's a really important thing. We're here. There are so many things happening, whether it's at the Central Bank with the high school show or it's the National Art Gallery or it's at Dungalik or it's at The Current or it's, you know, the Hillside House. And they're really wonderful spaces that are here to nourish and pop up. Well, we're getting pop up back on stream.
Okay.
We're getting pop up back on stream. It was destroyed in Hurricane Matthew. So... Unfortunately, we're getting a new roof back on, but and pop up. So, and it's a great thing to do to get into your creative community and really support the makers that talk about our lives, and that's what will be remaining for us when we're all gone, and for other people to see is who we were as Bahamians will be through our art and our culture. So you should get out and support that. We are going to go to a short break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to Guardian Talk Radio on 96.9. I'll be right back after this short break.